Welcome to Movie Chronicles with the Pal Bros. Now, I know there seems to be an endless spiral of bad stories coming from Hollywood, and we may see Hollywood as the dumpster fire that it is, but it is true, we still love movies. That being said, we desire the destruction and death of Hollywood, and the end of the reign of the evil and corrupt men and women telling these awful stories. We desire a rebirth of the film industry, through the telling of good stories that lead to Christ being glorified and one day reigning over the film industry. If you wish to support us in our mission, head over to patreon.com/thepowellbros or follow the link in the show notes. There you'll gain access to our exclusive show, The Powell Bros Mini Reviews, as well as early access to both Movie Chronicles and Movie Reviews by The Powell Bros. And now, on with the show.
The power of one, the power of two, the power of the Powell Bros. Welcome. We're here another week where the thread is not strong here, but we are here. And this is Movie Chronicles with the Powell Bros. I'm one of your hosts, Trent Powell. I'm here with my other host, Tobiah Powell. How are you, Tobiah?
Doing good. Probably better than you, because I didn't have to watch the stuff that you watched.
You didn't watch it again! Come on, it's so much more fun to talk about it together and dissect it together.
I don't want to be another supporter of that show. I need my other half.
That's weird. You're not my other half. That's gay. You're my brother. I need the other side of the... I need the other part of my force dyad. All right, I need you to help me. You're the light side. I'm the dark side. I need you to give me a positive light. Give me something positive about the Acolyte, because I completely ranted for an hour on our last one, and I was very negative and probably really discouraging. And now I'm left all alone. The power of one is not as good as the power of two. We could have the power of many.
Yeah, we could.
If Trevor would join us on this podcast as well. But he produces a lot, so he's part of the coven.
Yep.
You have no idea what I'm talking about.
No.
I did not watch... Well, we'll save that for the end. I'm not going to go as long as last time because I'm just over it. So let's talk about some other news. We got our first look at The Lord of the Rings, The War of the Rohirrim. Is that the name of the title? The War of the Rohirrim.
Yeah,
that's a long title. It's a really long title.
Yeah.
So we got our first look images of this animated film that's coming out close to Christmas, middle of December. So, we've been waiting to hear more about this, because there's really not been much.
There was some concept art that we had talked about, and now we've gotten some official images.
Right.
Which aren't too far off from the other ones, but the other ones were mostly landscape shots, and now we got some actual views of what some of the characters are going to look like, and some more details on that. And yeah, I mean, the images look promising. I mean, I think one of the main creators is Japanese and makes a lot of anime stuff. And this looks like an anime, and
they're going full on anime, which I was surprised by. I was not expecting that
for sure. I mean, it's definitely, you know, you got the elves and stuff like that, and I guess it fits. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, it looks cool, but there's also been some other stuff we've heard, which gives us some concerns, but I will probably watching it, and
I'm gonna see it. Yeah, I'm gonna see it. There's some, like I said, there's some things that we found out that I'm not very excited about, and It's just kind of par for the course right now for any big franchise. It just let's put a woman in it and make it lame. That's what they do. Not that putting women in movies or in lead roles makes movies lame. It's just they put women in these lead roles for the sake of putting women in lead roles, and it just turns out being lame. And it's the same story. The woman, you know, she doesn't know her true potential, and she has to go on a journey to find that true potential and unlock it. And there's no personal flaw. There's no character flaw. And most of the time, she's just learning how to act like a man. And it's not inspiring. It's not. It doesn't encourage womanhood. It doesn't.
Yeah, you get these,
glorify women in any way.
You get these women that they're told that their purpose in life and how to find purpose in life is to do what men do and be like a man. And they fail at that every single time, because you get these perfect female characters that are going on journeys to find themselves. And what do they have to do? They have to behave and act like men and become these masculine characters. And that's not how that happens. You don't find fulfillment in that as a woman. It's just not where you find it. And that's not what women were created to do, was to be like men. That is a very sad
and vice versa
goal to shoot for. Yeah, and vice versa. And yeah, that's what we get 9 times out of 10. Sometimes they accidentally you go ahead.
Usually what happens is that the woman starts acting like a man, and then all the men act like women. They're mm-hmm. wimpy. They don't stand up for what's right. They step back. They let the woman lead, and it's just Eve in the garden all over again. Adam abdicates his responsibility, and the woman, her desire is to rule over the man, her sinful desire, and she does, and it just creates an ugly story. And we've been seeing a lot of ugly stories lately.
Yeah,
in Hollywood and the franchises that we've grown up loving and enjoying. It's just, it's a kind of a desolate wasteland right now. And it's just, it's not looking very promising, and it's not going to get better unless something drastic changes. And so, as you guys can probably assume, the War of the Rohirrim, first off, I don't know if we said it, it's an anime, it's going to be anime, which,
anime style,
Japanese anime. It looks like with like American looking characters, Western European looking characters, which is fine, and it's an interesting style choice, and I'm here for it. Like I'm all for it. Fun, you know. There's a king. I think his name is Helm. So like Helm's Deep. So Helm is the king, and then you have this girl who apparently we are following in the story. She's the main protagonist. It's a female led movie. One of the pictures is her holding a sword, probably towards a white man, and so we're, you know, expecting her to kind of be a girl boss and lead the charge, be a lot like Galadriel, because apparently she wasn't a powerful enough character, so in Rings of Power they had to make her act like a man and be a soldier and be better than everyone else around her. So we're probably gonna get similar thing here with this girl. I'm pretty sure she's a princess, probably the daughter of the king, maybe. I don't know if they said that, but there's that. We also have a dude. He looks like Aragorn. He's not Aragorn, obviously, but he's like a strider almost. In the picture, so could be interesting. Could be a good story. Like, I've seen this enough to know that it's probably not any good. And another reason why I think it's not going to be good, because I'm just laying my cards out. I do not expect this to be good. I will see it and I will give it a fair shot. I am willing to give it a fair shot. And just because it's a female led doesn't mean I'm going to automatically dislike it. Not at all. It can be a good story with a female led actress.
Well, so one character thing, one reason like I think it might be good is there's a lot of anime that's female led that's actually good. Like that's kind of something they're known for. Anime. Well,
sure.
There's so much anime, so I guess it's hard to say that like that's what they're known for. But like it's so overly saturated. Like there's tons, but there is some of the more famous ones do have female leads that do work out well.
Sure.
And that's what I should say. So I think there is potential for that because of that. Because go ahead.
You go ahead. Sorry, I keep it.
I don't got anything.
Okay. Well, because I was trying to make, I was making a point, and I got off track. Another reason why I think it's going to be good is because they announced that Peter Jackson is going to be the executive producer. Now, wait, I'm not saying anything against Peter Jackson. Okay. My problem is that I'm pretty sure the only reason they're doing that is to create hype for the movie because it's probably not going to be any good. Like, oh, well, guess what? Peter Jackson is executive producer. Now, it's by you're privy to the film industry. You've worked on set on big movie sets and TV shows. You've been around famous directors and actors and producers. What does an executive producer do?
Gives them money.
Yes. Not that, I mean, that's
yeah,
it.
Like, for that's the most it. Part. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really mean much that Peter Jackson is executive producing it.
No. Just he has no control over the story at all.
He probably doesn't have
producers.
Control,
so producers have control over the story. Writers, directors have some control, and yeah, that's about it. Executive producers don't really have any say in the story.
So, I don't know. I will give it a fair shot. I promise you all that I will do that. It's another Lord of the Rings movie. I'm here for it. Everything else surrounding it, I'm all for. War of the Rohirrim, a story about King Helm. I'm here for it.
The way they, I mean, the men that are shown are very masculine looking men, so that's a good thing too.
Absolutely.
I mean, that king, I mean, like, I wouldn't mess with that guy at all. Or that, or the other guy with the torch. He looks like he'll mess you up. So that's a good thing for sure, because you can definitely make men look effeminate and these guys look very masculine, and that's very good.
Yeah. Which is, pretty in line with Tolkien and Middle.
It could be another Brave story, another Pixar's Brave. That could be what this movie is.
Yeah. You'll make your own fate.
I don't want to be a woman. I want to be a man.
I want to be a man. Speaking of... No, okay. Well, I was going to... That was actually a good segue. I just don't know if I'm ready to go into it, but, you know, the Star Wars version of Frozen is being released on Disney Plus right now. We talked about it last week. Because Leslie Headland was so inspired by Frozen and the story of Frozen that she had to make a Star Wars story about two sisters who are deranged from one another and run off and live their own lives but come together. One is a villain, antagonistic. One is a kind of protagonist, and yeah. But anything before we get into that, stick to
the. There's one thing that I saw
the suspense.
That was interesting. New news is Yann Demange. I don't know what his Bless name you. Is. Yann Demange is no longer directing Blade. He dropped out or got kicked out. Who knows? I think I'm assuming he dropped out because he's like, these idiots are not giving me a script to make a movie, and I'm missing out on all these big projects. Yeah.
But
I know.
Blade was a side character to four like lesbian vampires.
Yeah. So he's like, these people are not giving me a good script, and I'm missing out on other good, great projects, so I am leaving. Peace out, MCU. I am gone. And he's gone. He's not directing Blade anymore, so Blade is still up in the air. They literally can't get a script or a director to make this movie. So, who knows if this movie will ever get made. Years. Yeah.
Actually, I think it was 2019. I'm pretty sure it was announced. So, like, almost 5 years.
Yeah. No, it's been a long time. I'm
surprised Mashallah Ali is still like connected to it, like, because I'm sure he wants to go off doing other projects. But
oh yeah, for sure. I don't know why he's still. I mean, they're probably paying him right now. Like, they're probably sending him checks so that he stays on.
This movie's gonna be insane budget.
Yeah. Well, they're not gonna tell us the truth on that. Yeah, they're not. It's gonna. Yeah. It probably already has an insane budget, and it may never even get made. That was literally it. There wasn't much. I didn't see anything else. Any other news? Any other
interesting? Yeah, that's the thing. Is like directors and big actors. They don't want to be connected to these franchises anymore because they know how difficult it is. Like, they most of these directors that are attached to like Marvel and Star Wars, they don't have much creative control. And the ones they do give creative control are the ones that are inexperienced, that don't have a genuine love for the content, or they are not fans of the content, but they're activists. Leslie Headlin, the creator of The Acolyte, she has not produced a feature-length film. She's not done a drama or action or any kind of TV show like this. She's done a couple documentaries, I'm pretty sure. And maybe something else, some other small, I think she's worked on, like, produced, and done some stuff with, like, some other TV shows, but she's not been given creative control over a project like this. And, other well-known directors directors and producers were probably overlooked for her because she's an activist, because she self-identifies as queer, she's married to a woman, quote unquote married. She has a mirage to another woman, but she has no experience, especially with Star Wars. But when asked what her favorite, she was asked in an interview a while back what her favorite Star Wars project or movie was, and she says, "Oh, I love all the Star Wars," and that was it.
Who says all the Star Wars?
You know,
I'm guessing each movie is a war in the stars, so I'll just say I love all the Star Wars.
All of them.
I loved every single war in the stars. I loved them. Loved them all.
Yeah, something like that. There's been multitude of directors that have been announced for Star Wars movies that have gone nowhere, like Rian Johnson, directing another one. Taika Waititi, the Russo brothers, the guys that made Game of Thrones, I think, they were approached, and even in that, like, things that were announced, like, hey, this is happening, and they've gone nowhere. And the same with Marvel. It's just
the MCU would not happen. We haven't seen a Star Wars movie in a long time either.
Oh yeah, since Rise of Skywalker.
It's been a long time.
Even then, they fire Colin Trevorrow to do Rise of the third movie, and they rehire J.J. Abrams. Just people don't want to work with these big companies because they have an agenda, because they're agenda driven, and they want to tell their story based on how they see the world, and they want to incorporate and push their identity politics and create characters that are based on their identity, not who they are as a character, which we've talked about multiple times and we keep seeing. So when a director like this steps away, a very talented director, it makes sense that he doesn't want to work with Marvel, because it's probably career suicide to work with Marvel at this point, or Star Wars, because especially with Star Wars, like, you create something and if all the fans hate it, even if you're a well-known, very talented director and you create it, you're going to get a lot of flack for that. And you're going to get, because fans are passionate, because people love Star Wars and they love the content. And when you mess with that content, people aren't so happy about it. Now we, of course, aren't advocating for people to always be angry at stuff. And like, I don't want to always be angry at projects. I was too passionate last week over The Acolyte. I shouldn't have been. It's a silly show. It's just a dumb show. And we want to, we do want to expose the bad, but we also want to talk about the good, and we want to give a positive outlook on what's going on in the world and what's going on even in movies and in Hollywood. But we're going to point out the garbage when it's there, and we're going to lay it out and say, yep, here it is. Look at it.
For sure.
But people make projects, and people make, and those projects are either good or they're bad, or they're mediocre. And when they're really bad and it's for a franchise that people love, it's going to, they're going to get a lot of heat for it. That's just how it is. Yeah. And if it's really good, you get a lot of praise and love for it. The problem is, at this point, when you don't like a project that someone like Leslie Headland creates, then you're considered a racist and a bigot, and you hate women. Because it's a woman-led show, and if you don't like the show, you must be a sexist. You must be an ist or a phobe, and that's what they push. That's the, that's what they try to put on people, and that's where we're at. Now we have just witnessed the third episode of The Acolyte, and it has completely ruined any inkling of Star Wars, of life that may have been in Star Wars, which I don't think it has. I'm now of the opinion that Star Wars officially died in 2012 when George Lucas signed it over. And I'm kind of okay with that at this point. I'm like, okay, it's that everything that's happened since then has just been a corporation that's trying to create its own provide its own interpretation of a beloved franchise that people love and care for and that are passionate about. And they've failed. Like I just have a bad taste in my mouth for anything Disney Star Wars now. Like I can maybe point out a couple of good things. I think Jon Favreau did a good job at starting the Mandalorian out in season one.
I think season one of Mandalorian he had full control over and made something amazing. Season two, they were starting to put their foot in the door and say, you need to put in a bunch of characters that are very popular in Star Wars to keep the ratings up. And then they're like, okay, now that this is huge,
make the show about Bo-Katan.
We're gonna make a show about Bo-Katan and put in all our politics. So season one is amazing. I think it drives perfectly well with everything that George Lucas made. And season two is good, and it's got more issues than it's got issues, but it's not horrible. And then season three is horrible. And other than that, that's like the one thing that's like, no, that is definitely like season one is that's Star Wars. Other than that, like there just hasn't been anything that's like this is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like even like, you know, they did season six of the Clone Wars. I like the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a fan of Ahsoka. I'm not really a fan of her anymore. And yeah. I don't think, now that I look back on it, she's not really that great of a character.
No, for sure. I agree. I think the Ahsoka show really showed us who Ahsoka is. Like, it didn't...
Filoni thinks she is, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, who Dave Filoni thinks she is. And I think even though, like, the Ahsoka in that show is very different from the Ahsoka in the other shows, but it's still... I think all her flaws were so heightened in that show, it made us realize and see all the flaws that she's had all along and realize, she was never a good character. She was always a very flawed character and very masculine and power driven, strength driven, and just masculine traits all around.
Pretty much. Yeah. And that was, just problematic in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons. And yeah, I'm over it. Now we got the Acolyte. So we had episodes one and two, which, I mean, even as I thought about it more, it's just, it had so many problems with the story. It was just incoherent. Character choices didn't make any sense. The characters are very unlikable. Like I said, I think Sol was probably the only somewhat likable character. And now we get to episode three, and we get a flashback 16 years in the past where we are meeting Osha and May. I kept calling her Maya or Mia. Maya. I realized probably the reason why is because that's the Echo girl and maybe associate bad content with this.
Oh.
Maya.
Yeah.
On Echo. Because we reviewed Echo on this, didn't we? Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
anyways, we did. There's that. I don't know, I kept getting her name wrong. Her name's May. But my also point in coming trying to figure out what her name was last week was I don't remember. She's not very they're just not compelling characters. Now we get a 16 year flashback where we're meeting these girls when they're pretty young, and their sisters. So for the adult version, it's one actress playing two characters. For the kids, it's two twin actresses playing Osha and May. Well, and so I don't know exactly why they decided to go with two for the children. Yeah. Maybe it was just easier. And you know, they only had $180 million to work with, so they didn't want to do too much CGI.
Only? That's more expensive than anything they've ever done.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
I see that you were being sarcastic.
Yeah. You know? So, anyways.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't have twin actresses for the adults. That makes no sense.
No disrespect to the girls. I'm sure they are wonderful, great little girls. I'm sure they're great people, but
yeah,
they're not really good actresses. They did not act very well. I think it's also paired with really bad writing, and it's just it really just stands out. And when your main characters just are unlikable and not very compelling and are kind of boring and just have really cringe dialogue and then also really cringe delivery of said dialogue, then it just becomes really problematic. Mm-hmm. But we find out that these girls live on a planet called Brendok, and it's a planet that is made up of entirely marginalized witches who are, I think, all lesbians. They're at least led by a lesbian couple. There's a mother something something who runs the whole thing, and she's the mother of the girls. We find out that her girlfriend or wife or whatever is the one that carried the children. But the leader of the coven, she's the one that created the children in the womb of the other woman. Something, something. So we find out that that's a thing somehow. She created him in the Force. So what we find out in this episode, I don't even want to really go through the whole story. Like, the Jedi show and the Jedi are very, now they're child protective. So the last two episodes, they were cops. Now they're child protective services or service people.
Yeah.
They're looking for force sensitive children. They find out that this coven has been training children. And so apparently under Republic law, they cannot, but the witches assure the Jedi, led by Carrie Ann Moss, because why not? The witches assure the Jedi that, oh, we're not part of the Republic. We're not in Republic territory. And then something happens. So, they argue and they decide, okay, we'll let you test the girls. They'll go through some tests to see if they are in fact Jedi. Now there's a lot of problems here. Okay. I'm not even gonna get into how they were created until I get in a minute. I'll get there. Actually, I'm skipping over things, but
that's
fine. We find out that Osha is very hesitant. She doesn't want to become a Jedi. And May, she does want to become a Jedi. May wants to be a witch, and they're about to go through an ascension ceremony where they're going to ascend and become witches. And they're at the age when this happens. And Osha is very hesitant. She doesn't want to become a witch. She wants to be a Jedi. There's for one problem here is we're never given any reason to believe that she understands who the Jedi are, because she literally finds out she doesn't know that there are other Jedi, that there are other children Jedi, that they're pad ones. Because she's, and once the Jedi tell her that, she's really surprised. But she finds that out and she's like, there's other children out there that are like me. And sure, there are. But for some reason, she wants to be a Jedi. We're never told why she wants to be a Jedi. We're never told any reason why she wants to leave, except for that she just wants to explore the galaxy. But that's it. Like, my question is, what if, like, a bounty hunter clan came and they're like recruiting people, would she have just become a bounty hunter? Would she be like, oh, I want to be a bounty hunter? It's like, yeah, I don't know.
No,
like,
that's exactly
she
it.
She wants to be a Jedi. Okay. And we're told this over and over again. She wants to be a Jedi. She doesn't like, and then there's one line where like the two sisters are arguing and Osha is saying the Jedi are good. And then, May says the Jedi are evil. The Jedi are good. The Jedi are evil. And that's it. They're not explained why they're good, why they're evil. They're just saying these things. They're just spewing this stuff out.
And they know they're basing that on absolutely nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Besides the fact that these Jedi, the Jedi are cast in a very poor light. They're mm-hmm. invading this planet, which we don't even understand why. Like, apparently, the Jedi show up on this planet. They just land there. They must sense that the girls are there or something. But they land on the planet and the witches are like, the Jedi are here and they're trying to figure out what to do because they know that the Jedi like to take children. And they cast this in a really poor light. So there's that. I think I've spent too much time thinking about this, and I just don't want to anymore. I don't want to talk about it.
For sure.
I wrote a review of it.
You should not be watching any more of it.
It's hurting my brain. Okay. The biggest problem with this, I'll just go to here. The biggest problem is that they are completely redefining the Force. Now, I understand there are many different cults and different societies in Star Wars that have a different understanding of the Force. But the problem with this one is that they're being very intentional and saying, no, this is how it should be understood. And the Jedi understand it a certain way, but they're wrong. But we know, and she literally says, we know that the Force is this. And how she explains it makes absolutely no sense. She says that it's a thread. The Force is a thread. And when you pull it, everything changes, she says. And what's funny is that she says the Force or the thread is not a power to be wielded as a weapon. And then literally 10 seconds later, she uses it as a weapon to force push her girls because she's like teaching them a lesson. She literally uses it as a weapon, but she's talking about how it shouldn't be wielded. She was literally wielding it by holding a ball and moving it around like right before. She was using the Force, or because what she says is some call it a Force and they claim to use it, but we know it's a thread and it's not a power that should be wielded as a weapon or something along those lines.
But
it doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense.
A thread, you pull the thread and you can move things and manipulate things. But what they're really doing is the witches, because we find out that the witches use the thread to do something that really no one else in the galaxy has been able to do, except for maybe Darth Plagueis, who's the master of Lord Sidious. For you Star Wars nerds, he was able to manipulate, he claimed to be able to manipulate life, which he spent years doing experiments and studying and learning in the Force how to create life and how to save life and how to preserve life. And it seems like it seems to be understood that he did figure that out. Okay. Excuse me. These witches on some obscure planet, which we also find out that they migrated to this planet.
Yeah.
Excuse me. We don't know why or where, but they were exiled, I guess, to this planet, and it's a coven of female witches. Oxymoron, witches are female. Witches who, they have no children except for these two. They make it clear to tell us that there are only two children on this planet. And it's Osha and May. They were miraculously created through the thread because they pulled the thread and the leader of the clan, the matriarch, she created life in the womb of her partner and created the two Jedi. Okay. There are so many problems with that when you consider the lore of Star Wars, because who else was created through the Force?
Yeah, Anakin.
Okay. Anakin, who is he's the Christ figure of Star Wars. He's a Christ-like character. Of course, he has a tragic fall. He turns to the dark side and sin, but he's redeemed.
Yeah, they're trying to.
His son helps him redeem, and
they're trying to take away the significance of Anakin.
That's what it seems like, and that's what really they did, because just like 80 years later from now, Anakin will be born in the Force. Now, what are they doing? I don't know. Are they saying that Anakin was created through someone manipulating the thread, and he was born in the womb of Shmi? Maybe. I don't know. That could be it, but it doesn't make any sense, and that's not George Lucas' Star Wars. In fact, it's made very clear in Star Wars that Anakin was created by the will of the Force. The Force it has its own will. It's a energy force that is living and active and holds all things together. It's very Eastern religion type of understanding of the Force that was what George Lucas created and how he understood it.
For sure.
Now, the issue is those that seek to take the Force and bend it to their own will to do their own bidding. Those are the ones that are the dark side users, the wicked, the evil, the bad guys, the villains. The witches are, in fact, saying that those that bend it to their own will, those are the ones that are that have true understanding of the thread. So they're basically saying they're dark side users.
Yeah.
So I don't know if like they're implying that like they're going to be the villains in the show. Probably not. But the girls, obviously, Osha becomes a Jedi. May becomes an acolyte to maybe a Sith Lord. We don't know. We're not told much. But basically, they are manipulating the Force for their own bidding. So, and they create these girls in a way that was not good. Okay, you don't create life. You don't bend the Force to your own will to create not only one Force sensitive child, but two. Another problem that they were able to do too. And they've had so many shows and movies about learning how to clone Force sensitive people in Star Wars, and no one's been able to figure it out. Like, you have the Bad Batch, you have Clone Wars, you have the Force Unleashed video game. That's George Lucas Star Wars, so I'll say. But you have that one where there's thousands and thousands of failed attempts with very advanced technology, and no one's able to figure out how to do this. But these witches are able to do it, and they create these children who are probably going to be like the new Anakin. Basically, they're going to bring balance to the Force, and they're probably a Force dyad, which is another Disney Star Wars concept that was created in the Rise of Skywalker, where there's the light and the dark, and when the light and dark come together, or they're the two opposing forces, like yin and yang, and when they come together, they bring balance or something. Not Star Wars, or not George Lucas Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's their understanding.
So I have a question.
Go ahead.
Are all the witches, are all the lesbian witches black?
No.
No?
That's surprising. No, they're not all black. They're
a lot of them are?
Shapes and colors.
Are the mother, is the mother of all the mothers?
The matriarch is black. Her partner is, she's like a, she has like horns, she's kind of like Darth Maul. I think it's just Zabarak or something. But she's a
different species. Oh, so there's different species kind of and stuff?
What?
There's different species of the witches? They're not all one race, like actual Star Wars race?
Well, there's like one really old lady. It looks kind of like an alien. And then that's really it. Okay. I don't know.
Huh, weird.
They're all kind of the same race, so. I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's
they've completely destroyed Star Wars. They're redefining the Force, and you know they're gonna run with this. They're setting this up to be the new norm for Star Wars.
Yeah,
just very evident and clear that that's what they're doing. It's what they wanted to do. It's what Kathleen Kennedy wants to do. It's what Leslie Headland wants to do, and they're doing it. And no one's here for it. Even people that like the first two episodes are saying that this third episode is terrible. There, like I said, the acting is bad, but the whole Jedi coming to the planets, and then what the moms are like, no, you can't take our children, leave them alone. And then all of a sudden they were like, oh yeah, you can test them and see And then they take their blood to do a midichlorian count, and they're okay with that. I don't know why, but that happens. Yeah. And then the girl. Oh yeah, and Osha and May. The moms say when you go do this test. They're just doing like the Anakin like read the sign thing in the uh-huh. Jedi Council. When they go to the test, she says, I want you to lie. I want you to tell them that you're not force sensitive. I want you to trick the system and fail the test. And Osha's like, I don't want to lie. I want to be a Jedi. And May's like, no, you do want to be, or you don't want to be a Jedi. You want to be a witch. And that's it. They fight like multiple times, but they do like sissy fights like multiple times in the episode. It's like, okay.
Oh my gosh.
And then they argue all the time. May is just really unlikable.
What is with them and using so many like young actresses and little kids in all these shows and movies and stuff? Like,
dude,
before this, like, there was never like outside of like animation with aliens, like, there is never a little tiny kid.
Well, I mean, there's Anakin, but yeah.
Were they as young as Anakin?
Yeah, so this is the other problem. They're about the same age, maybe a little older than Anakin was in Phantom Menace.
Oh, really?
Now,
so I was imagining really young, issue? like Leia's age in Obi-Wan.
Yeah, about that.
Not that young?
Maybe a little old, like in between.
Well, she was like really young, though. Not Anakin's age. Anakin was like 10.
10? Yeah, so maybe, well, probably about the same age. Let's just say they're 10. Okay.
Yeah.
What was the big conflict in The Phantom Menace with Anakin learning to be a Jedi and being taken as a Jedi? What was Mace Windu's concern? Can you tell me?
He's too old.
He's too old. Okay. Why are these Jedi coming to this planet and why are they so eager to train these two girls at the same age that Anakin was?
And this is within a Jedi utopia too.
Right. Like, and what's even more ridiculous is that, oh yeah, Jedi utopia. Yes. There's probably multitude of Jedi younglings and Jedi Knights all over the galaxy, but they want these two. And what's also interesting is that they're just like Anakin, they're very emotionally driven. Okay, one of the issues why Anakin was so old, and the reason that Jedi took children in and trained them at such a young age was because they wanted to get them before they were at the age where they were they had attachments to people and to things. So, so they're able to train them to be a Jedi to learn that Jedi aren't supposed to have attachments and so forth, so forth. The girls, they're very attached to, well, at least May is very attached to her home, and Osha is really she's still attached to her moms and she wants to please them. Moms, can't believe I'm talking about Star Wars. So she's concerned but she's emotionally driven because she's always fighting with her sister and she's always gets frustrated and she's trying to work through how and what she needs to do next and whether or not she should go and be a Jedi because she all for some reason wants to. But they're so eager to train them when they're just in the same place as Anakin. But whatever, they decide this is a thing. So they have a big fight. Osha, she lies, but she's caught in her lie because Sol, like, you know, they hold the picture and it was like a rabbit or something. And she said, it's a boat. And he's like, correct. And she's like, no, it was a, and then she gets caught in her lie. And then Sol explains to her like, hey, it's like, it's okay if you don't want to go. But she's like, no, I want to be a Jedi and I want to tell the truth and so forth. Yeah. So she tells him the truth. May finds out, she's really angry. She runs away. And then we have a whole scene where all the witches and the Jedi meet once again. They're talking about the girls. They're saying that Osha wants to go, May doesn't, and can't remember exactly what happens after that. But oh yeah. Then Osha goes and she starts packing, and then May comes into the room storm, and she's like, "You're not going. I don't want you to go. It's not happening. You're not going to be a Jedi." And she's it gets better. And then she tells. She tells her sister, "You're not gonna go be a Jedi, because I'm going to kill you." She all of a sudden decides, oh my gosh, you're not going to go do this because I'm gonna murder you right now. It's like, well, she's not going anywhere now. She's definitely not going anywhere. But it's like, it's just like a weird shift. Like, they've been showing throughout the episode that, yeah, she's dark. You know, there's a scene at the beginning, yeah, where they're playing with a bird, doing some force stuff with the bird, and she's like about to kill the bird, and she's just like, no, oh, don't hurt it, and so forth, so forth. And they've been showing that there's a clear difference, not really well earned and very forced, but it's there. Right. But her sudden decision to be like, I'm going to kill you because you want to go off and be a Jedi, and you don't want to stay here and be a witch. It's like, okay. Also, there's a line where the mom is talking to the daughters about what it means to be a witch and whether or not and why Osha shouldn't go off to be a Jedi. She says, you know, I know you want to go off and see the galaxy at this age, but when you get older, your desires change and you won't want to do that later on. And she says, people in the galaxy are not fond of women like us. They add that line.
Oh, my gosh.
Why not? All right. Yeah. Just they had to put that in talk because they're lesbian witches and in a very vast galaxy, but apparently they're marginalized and they're oppressed and because of who they are. So, and they had to make that very clear. So just they're incorporating modern politics. They're incorporating modern politics in a galaxy far, far away, in a galaxy from a long time ago. 2024 yeah. politics right there. May decides that she's going to kill her sister, so she locks her in the room, and she grabs one of her books before she leaves. It was a Jedi book. Grabs the book, lights it on fire, closes the door, lights it on fire, throws it at a stone door, not wood, stone door, and from this little torch and little book on fire, the whole door catches on fire, and then the whole building burns down. The entire coven is made of brick and stone.
That was
the entire temple.
A symbolism of her burning down Star Wars and what George Lucas created. That's exactly sounds about what right. that was. And
so, this shouldn't surprise
should
me
let because it they die made it very there, clear.
Just let it burn. But they obviously made it. It makes sense because they didn't know how fire works in the first episode, the first two yeah. episodes or whatever. They definitely don't know how fire works in this episode, so it's just par for the course because they didn't have anyone on set to tell them, hey, that's not how fire works. Can't burn stone and brick like that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That is
and
ridiculous.
Then it's just and then every single second from that point on was so confusing because They run out. The Osha finds a way to go. There's a trap door or like a hidden door, and she crawls through the tunnel. And then she meets her sister, and then they have a conflict on a bridge. And then the Jedi show up.
Just let it die,
Trent.
Just let it
die. The witches are all dead. They're just dead. They're just lying on the ground dead. All right. That and we have no reason why.
Is it to imply that the Jedi killed them?
Well, that's the thing. Is there's likely going to be another flashback. And they're going to show what really happened, or they're going to show it from May's perspective. Yeah. So probably the Jedi killed him, and that's why the Jedi from the second one killed himself and because of the guilt. But anyways.
Yep. All right.
There's that.
That's wonderful. I'm excited to do our Patreon, so... We'll just let it die.
Try to move on.
Don't watch any more episodes. Just let it die. You saw it burn down. You saw the stone building of Star Wars burn down.
Hey, I'm just trying to grift off this, okay? So we can get some followers and get people.
No, for sure. For sure.
Let's talk about Star Wars.
No, it's you definitely didn't make me want to watch it at all. So
I didn't. Are you sure?
No, and. And yeah, let's not.
Well, like, I think I said this though, but like people that like the first episodes, they do not like this one. Like they said, this is just awful because there's nothing good. There's nothing redeemable about this. There's something, maybe some things that were somewhat redeemable about the first two. This one, it's just, there's nothing. It's so bad and terrible writing. It just makes no sense. And this is also happens not only when you hire activists, directors, and producers is the problem is when you hire activist writers people right. who've not worked written on major projects. Apparently, some of the writers don't even like Star Wars. They had never seen Star Wars before this, well, which makes
I don't
sense.
Think Kathleen Kennedy. I mean, not Kathleen Kennedy. I don't think Leslie Headlin even likes Star Wars. So,
yeah,
she's the creator of this show. So, the Star Wars. Sorry, Star Wars. She's not a fan of the Star Wars.
The Star Wars.
Even though she says she's a fan of all the Star Wars.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, this is our last episode for this season. And we will be back in a few weeks. We're taking a little break just to kind of, we've been doing this for over half a year. So we're taking a little break. We're going to end this season here. And when we get back, there'll be a few more episodes of Acolyte out, so I'm sure we'll be talking about that and just the hilarious comedy that is. And
go ahead and follow my Substack because I will probably be reviewing the episodes there.
Yeah, and we'll post other stuff on here on for you guys to listen to each week while we're gone. So don't go running away. Keep on coming back each week to see what exciting thing we got for you. So stick around. Keep supporting us. We appreciate what you guys are doing. And we have big plans. We have some things that we're working on, and we're excited about them. We'll probably have an announcement when we come back, an official announcement when we come back in a few weeks. And, so look forward to that. Look forward to all the other fun things we'll be talking about. And go out there, find good movies and watch them, watch the good stuff. We're going to be doing for our next season, we're going to be doing our top 10 favorite movies each. And we're going to be doing a draft on our Patreon. It'll be an intro to season 2 for our movie reviews.
So if you want to check that out, please go
head over there. We're gonna be if you want a big old list of movies to watch, head over there. We'll be posting which movies we are watching, what movie we're reviewing the next week in the show notes of the week before, so you can watch that movie with us, watch along with us if you would like. And that's just a fun thing you can do and to watch good. Watch and consume good stories. So that is it for this season. We thank you guys so much for your support, and we are very excited for next season and going through. Just I think we're going to be looking a little more optimistically at other stuff. We're going to be diving more into some more indie stuff and not focusing so heavily on Disney and all that, because Disney is the Soviet version of the film industry right now, and we are trying to stray away from that and get something new. So, of course, we'll always point out the hilarious stuff they're doing to give everybody a good laugh. And
we live in clown world. Life is a comedy.
For sure. So, we thank you guys, and we'll see you next time. All right.
See you later. Bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.